Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Mirror it.
Baby, don't hurt me no more.
I'm sure we've done that song before. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me no more.
No more.
I'm sure we've done that. If we haven't done Hadaway's What Is Love, then I don't know where we've been, to be fair.
Who was it? Hadaway.
Hadaway.
What Is Love?
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. Okay, yeah, I'm really, you know
people
what?
People will be singing that to themselves for weeks now.
Yeah, and now that's going to come on when we do our 200th show and people are going to listen to the fact that our bad singing again.
Mm.
A lot of people listen to our bad singing now.
There's a really good Will Ferrell movie in the, I can't remember what it was. I can't remember what that was. I'll see if we can find the name of it. But that was actually a pivotal song all the way through the movie. It was very, very funny. It was very good.
What Is Love was?
Yeah, that song was all the way through the movie with Will Ferrell in it.
A Night at the Roxbury.
That's right, A Night at the Roxbury. Have you ever seen that?
I don't remember.
It is.
Sometimes I watch movies and I don't remember.
Yeah. I was watching Dumb and Dumber last night.
I remember that one.
I watched it with the kids again and then we had to switch it off. Angie was like, oh, that's a bit inappropriate.
Yes.
But one of the best scenes in Dumb and Dumber where when he walks in with the cane and he's whipping the other guy with the cane, that was absolutely hilarious.
I don't remember that bit.
Yeah. It was very funny. Anyway.
Anyway, how are you going?
Good. How's it going?
How's Lexi's little veggie patch coming along?
Yeah, Lexi has wanted to start growing vegetables for ages. So we set one up yesterday. I was at a party on 40th on Saturday night. So, yeah. Anyway, blew myself up a little bit. I haven't let go in a while. So I blew myself up a little bit. Had a few beers, probably a few too many.
I was wondering why you're a bit funny today.
And then Saturday morning, I'd been promising Sunday morning she was up at 6 o'clock, like, come on, Dad, we got to go and do it. I'm like, oh my God. So I had to get out the Bunnings and get everything. But we've set up this veggie patch and we're growing strawberries, broccoli, lettuce, beans, tomatoes. Yeah, some really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, she dragged me out there the other night to
She's
see
like,
the little
you're
lettuce.
Not going to need to go shopping anymore. And I'm like, honey, see that 3 acres out there? Yeah, okay. If we filled that whole 3 acres with vegetables, it would probably last us about 2 months and take about 6 months to grow them. So, but it's not the point. She's
in
there doing
cute.
That.
She's really, really excited about it. I saw her lettuce.
Yeah, she was telling me she loved me all week. Oh, I love you. Love you, Dad. Oh, my God. It's okay. I love you too.
Getting all affectionate.
It
That's
is, yeah. Because Lexi's, Lexi's, but she, Lexi, when Lexi tells you that, she means it.
Yeah, 100%. She's not just saying it.
No.
I think Lola means it when she says it as well, but she's just,
doing her
like
thing.
Like, she's just, that's part, like, she just naturally does it. Lexi is a bit more,
Anyway, so how's it going?
I'm good. I've been noticing, it's actually not a bad thing that we started talking about Lexi's veggie patch, because I've been noticing how, we did a Facebook Live the other day a little bit about this topic, but I think it deserves a podcast because there's a lot going on. There's been a lot going on for the last year and a half now, actually. But it just gets at different levels and I feel there's been I'm just picking up an energy from people, I suppose, in my space.
Yeah.
People that are struggling a bit with what's happening, with what's happening out in the world and what's happening. And we're very, I'm very grateful that we're not locked down here at the moment, but there's always these questions of should I or shouldn't I, have the vaccine? Should I? Or what's going on with the people with lockdown? Are they going to, am I not going to be able to travel? There's all this stuff, it's just messy. And then we've got so many clients over East and who are locked down currently and really feeling like they can't do anything. We were supposed to be in Brisbane, at the time of recording today.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be out in Brisbane. We're going to have to do online tomorrow, which is really cool. I mean, online is just as awesome.
But it's friggin' awesome.
It's, it's affecting how people are, it's doing things to affect and make us having to move and do things differently, And there can be points in that, and I think the people can be getting really down about that. And I've noticed that there's people around me that are, and I've just, even just one of the staff members today is like, like struggling with the choice to make about one thing or another thing, you know, and it's just like, okay, well, where do we go from here? You know, what do we do in this situation? And I think we were speaking the other day about how important it is to be grateful.
Yep.
And how important it is that.
But for some people, I mean, I have to admit, some people might would be sitting back thinking, yeah, but that's all fucking well and good, you know, be grateful. You know, what do you mean be grateful?
Well,
you know,
100%.
And that would have
to be. Able to explain
it. You know, you got to be able to explain. And I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, how do you know, when things are out of control, you know, we say to people all the time, the precursor to transformation is chaos, right? And we're in the chaos, so we're transforming, and that's fine. So where are we transforming to is ultimately where you want to be. And, you know, the thing that we all fought for and our forebears and forefathers and, you know, fought for was freedom. And you want, but freedom is not something that is outside of you. It's not something that you, freedom is something that is very
you
much
feel inside. Yeah.
And if you were free to do whatever you wanted to do, what would you be doing and how would it be making you feel on the inside? So I'm a big believer in getting really clear about what you want to feel ultimately, because that needs to be the narrative, which is when you're clear about that, everything else drops away. But people are not clear about that. People are being outwardly influenced by visual things and audio, and because of that, it's altering how they feel on the inside. When in actual fact, we're very powerful creators. If you're broadcasting fear and lockdown and all that sort of stuff, well, that's what you're going to get more of.
Right. So that's what I was just trying to figure out how you were linking that to gratitude. Yeah. So gratitude is about broadcasting and resonating with what you're broadcasting, right? Yeah. And you've got to be able to broadcast gratitude, mm-hmm. like
no matter what the situation,
no matter what's going on. So if we're relying on something that's happening outside of us for us to be grateful,
or for something to change, or something to change so we can feel free,
we're not grateful.
No,
we're not grateful in that space. Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, I know I've had moments of it. I know you've had moments of it. Everybody gets moments of not feeling, you know, you don't live in that space of true gratitude. Yep. But you can practice gratitude, mm-hmm. right? And practicing gratitude is actually being active in your awareness of what actually is happening and to step outside of it and look at it from a different perspective. Mm. And I feel like that's the part that some people are struggling with, is that looking at it from a different perspective. And if you, and I feel like, so what I want to do today is talk about some of the things that I know work for me, I know work for you,
yep.
and what we think can be the best, like the best things that people can do, anybody can do, what we do to be able to get ourselves out of that place where you can't see
out of that funk.
That other perspective. And I used the analogy on the live the other day about the ball, you know, seeing two kids sitting at the front of the room, and one kid says the ball is black, the other kid says his ball is white, and in the middle there's a ball, you know?
Yeah.
And one says it's black, one, and they swear, and they will not change their minds. They cannot see that it's the other way.
Well, and it's actually, they're looking at a circle, right?
Well, they're looking,
one sees the circle is white, the other sees the circle is black.
Yeah. So they've got, because that's from their perspective, they can't see it's a ball, right? But when you look at, because they're sitting at the desk and the balls, these massive balls in the middle, and they can only see their one side. So it takes for them to stand up off of their chair, move around, go and sit where the other person is sitting to see their point of view.
Yep.
And then to see, actually, there's another perspective here. It's not just the way I saw it in the first place.
Right.
That's the first step of being grateful, is looking to see that there's another side, mm-hmm. right? But a bigger step, and the more important one, is actually getting up off the chair altogether, maybe standing on a ladder or something, and seeing the ball for what it is. It's not black, it's not white, it's both, it's neither. And seeing it as a ball, you know. Mm-hmm. And what happens is I think we get so caught up in the perspective, in the perspective that we're in, and we'll defend that perspective to the ground, and we cannot see the other side. Mm. And we've all been guilty of that, including me, especially me. So it's like, well, what can we do? And so we were talking about it before, and I know one of the things for you that you have to literally move.
Yeah.
Like you've got to move your physical body.
I think it's important to understand that. One of the things I'd never realized is that you got to move, but you got to move in certain ways. You know, you got to walk. You know, you got to walk. Running puts your body under stress. If you're already stressed, you know, you have to understand you're not de-stressing when you run. You're actually putting your body under further stress. The other thing about, so, but moving in some sort of fluid way of exercise, yoga, sitting, stretching, that's what
anything
movement
that,
is.
Anything that is resonates. Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll feel like going for a run. Sometimes I'll need just to walk and right. the run won't cover it. You know what I mean? So it's like you've got to move in ways that feel right for you, but you've got to actually be moving.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things with our physical bodies, especially when this is going on all around us, and especially when we feel like we can't get out of the house or we can't go outside, we feel restricted there, so we then don't move and therefore it actually creates a spiral effect.
Mm-hmm.
Creates a spiral effect that is like starts to become on a downward cycle.
And the other thing is that you know, when you're being outwardly influenced, you're creating a story that is based on the influencer's narrative, right?
Yes.
So you're being outwardly influenced based on someone else's narrative. You've lost your story. You've lost touch with who you are. Mm-hmm. So you're not yourself. You're in a state of anxiety and fear, and that's affecting the biochemical reactions of what's happening in the body and the brain. Mm-hmm. And so there, to get back into your story and your narrative, you have to be able to do things that are different. You know, we would sit with people, you know, and when we're working with people through flip the script or relationships and you're letting it go, and or even through the one-on-ones, and the guys would, a person would be in a story, they'd be in a loop.
Yeah.
You know, you say to them, okay, so why are you here? And they go, blah, 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 and they tell you the story, they tell you the loop. But that's, and they are convinced and they think that they are that, and that controls them and that manipulates how they feel on the inside. And when you can, like when you can jam a screwdriver into the loop and you can sever the loop, you know, very quickly they see another way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Very quickly they think, Jesus, I was caught in a funk there, you know, and they can just see the story for what it was, that it was just automatic. It was like it was on autopilot. And you got to see at the moment, your story now, you're all the time taking in information from your outer world. And you got a new narrative building. And the question is the new narrative the narrative that you want to be your life? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something you want to traumatize you, or something you want to blame because you never got ahead financially, or you got caught up in a downward spiral, or your business fell apart, or you lost your job, or you lost your sanity? Your story is entirely yours. But I think just jamming a screwdriver in there and starting to feel on the inside different, you know, empower yourself on the inside changes how, and the more of us that do that, the more of us that go back inside and take hold of our own narrative, the quicker we're going to start to make a bigger difference here.
Yeah, so I agree with that, but I think that what we're talking about is the moving, because I think the mental aspect can come down the track.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you've got to move to get to that place almost, because if you feel like you can't because you're stuck and you're locked down or you're limited, then when you physically stay limited, you will mentally follow suit. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're right in that you've got to switch how you're thinking. But I think you've always done this. You're stuck in business. You're stuck in, I don't know, something to do with the relationship. You're stuck in movement in life in general, and you'll literally put on your skates and off you go, right?
Yeah.
What
that means is that I will go and do something physical moves myself, my person, mentally.
Yes.
Because when you're moving, I'm stuck in a funk.
Yeah. So when you're moving physically, that it makes alters a difference because it's affecting your mental capacity then, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the physical is something that people can more easily perhaps step into than perhaps the mental to begin with, because the mental can be quite overwhelming if we stay in that space,
it
right?
Can be mental.
Yeah, totally. So physical, and then you have to do something then for your mental as well. Now the physical impacts the mental, because like you said, the running might stress your physical body, but it helps with your mental,
process,
right? And it helps you process and stuff. So as long as you're doing stuff that relates in terms of your physical, so that you're not wearing yourself out at that level, you know, you do what feels right, whether that's resistance, whether it's yoga, whether it's swimming, whether that's walking, whether it's whatever it is, then you got to work on your mental stuff, right? And you got to work on, and I feel like so many people, even in my life, in my family and people that are around, that are the ones that are telling me that it looks bad and doom and gloom are the ones that are consuming the doom and gloom 24/7.
Yep.
And that's consuming it through the mainstream media news sites or it's consuming it through your Facebook, your Instagram and what you're allowing in your space. And you said something a while back about go and unfollow the people that are not lifting you up, like...
If they don't elevate you, why would you listen to them?
Yeah. And so it's like... The freedom that you feel when you go, not allowing that into my space anymore is so empowering because you get to decide what's in your space. Well, you get to decide what you consume.
A great example, I think, for me was just about 4 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was noticing that Lexi was like really on her computer a lot. So, and... I was watching what she was looking at, and she was looking at some wolf girl or wolf something or other, who's this dark-haired girl with black glasses in the US. She's like a quadrillion followers, and she's on there watching this stuff, and when she's coming out of her room, she's unhappy. Like unhappy. She's 11. You know, she was unhappy, and I'm looking at her, and then she wasn't eating. Like she wasn't eating properly. She was just eating crappy food, And then when you go in and watch what these guys are putting to the kids, they're bringing up all these really hairy situations and then judging people about their choices in the situations.
Oh,
and then they
great.
Bring up another video, hairy situation, and then judging people on their behavior. And, you know, so pushing her opinion over and then, you know, and that was making Lexi, who's just this innocent little girl, it's resentful. So I went in and I thought, you know what, it's been a fucking battle, man. Trying to get kids off technology is a battle. But yesterday for the first time, like she's just completely different. Like I can't explain it to people. My daughter went from literally 11 years old and in a very short period, unhappy, not eating properly, not showering, not getting into the bath, staying in her pajamas all day, sitting on her computer with the screen open, to out in the garden, digging
making
with
veggie
me,
patches.
Making veggie patches, jumping in the car with me, driving everywhere, laughing with me. And yesterday I said to her, Lexi, can you feel it? Can you feel the difference? And she's like, I can, Dad. I can totally feel how different I feel. And I said, I know, hon. I said, that thing, like that technology, and I was explaining to her how they actually make you unhappy and then show you things to buy to make you happy. And I said, that's what the whole system is based around. And you might not buy now, but they're grooming you to be unhappy later in life so that you will go and buy that stuff. Well, we're all doing that. Like if you're listening to 7, 9, 10, ABC, SBS,
anything on Instagram.
Like, and I know one of the guys was saying here earlier, you switch off your notifications. I'm like that, I agree, 100%. But my recommendations, delete the shit. Like delete it. You know, and for me, I went in and I deleted it from my television, YouTube, so the kids cannot get YouTube. I've deleted it from my phone. I've deleted Facebook from my phone at the moment. I mean, I have to do stuff through work, but my personal Facebook page is gone. I just don't want it up there. I'm just, you know, and it has changed everything within the household. So what if everybody did this?
Yeah.
What if everybody did this?
Mm.
What if everybody went in and went, I'm not going to fucking hang out, listen to, allow it into my space.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became the tipping point. We became the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Whoever is controlling that shit would have to change the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. So I think for me, deleting it is good. Like I think for some people, you just can't even have it there because if you have it there, you don't even realize how much time you're spending on there and how much it's occupying your time.
Mm.
And if you are going to be on it, make sure you're only following things that are uplifting, inspiring, on the terms of your values, you know?
So I have a registration book in my house. So when the kids come home, they get a certain amount of time on the weekend and then they get a certain amount of time during the week. And every time they pick up a device, they have to write it the date, the time, what it was they watched. So they have to register. Mm-hmm. And if they don't register, they lose it for a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that has also allowed us to see what they were doing and allowed them to feel as if they're in charge of it.
Yeah.
They're registering it, not me. You know, so they feel they're starting to get, okay, and understand.
Yeah, because Lexi was on the computer the other night when I was there because I was helping Ollie with his book week costume.
Mm-hmm.
And She was looking up the veggie patches. Mm. And so she's still using the computer. She's just not mindlessly being on there because she can, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a difference. So physical movement, mental. So watch what comes into your space. Health is not about just what you eat. It's what you consume mentally every way. So you've got to watch what you're consuming. And then spiritually, I think, like mental, spiritual and physical are the three core areas of life. There are other areas of life, so family, sexual, et cetera, but they're all in about your relationship with somebody else or other people. Mental, spiritual and physical are about your relationship with yourself. So I think you've really got to take care of those three aspects. And in terms of spiritual, for anyone who's done our work, get in and do an equilibration. Don't let that stuff occupy your mind in space and time. It's just not worth it. And then also in terms of spiritual, there's the full, you know, equilibration that, you know, obviously we teach in letting go, but there's the 8-step equilibration as well, which everybody can learn easily because it's just we show it everywhere. But then also, this is where your mission statement comes in handy because your spiritual is your journey, it's your outcome, it's your outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have an outlook, so I think the physical is important to start off with because when you're moving, it at least gets you out of the funk to in a physical sense. The mental is good because then you clear – it's like you're clearing your space. But if you are moving and you've got a clear space and you have no plan on where you're going, then you'll end up back in the same situation that you were in. And I think that having a you know, you text me last night, Melzie, read your mission statement again, like making sure like we're keeping each other accountable to making sure we're on track, we're on our mission, that we're focused. And, you know, having the outlook, the outcome, because if you don't have that outcome, all you'll be doing is complaining about what's going on. So you won't have, you will still be outwardly guided instead of inwardly led, inwardly led to the place that you want to go. So if your life and your world is being dictated to you right now because of what the government is doing or because of the lockdown or because of a virus or because of whatever, then you are not in control. You do not have control of your life. And I was on my Zoom call last week that I, you know, when I, my wealth principle Zoom call when I'm helping people with their money. And it's like the quality of problems that these people have are high quality problems because they're, what they're doing is they're trying to figure out and they're working on the mission all of the time. It's like, what's the outcome? What's the outcome? What's the outcome?
Because
if you're not working on the outcome, you'll get stuck with somebody else's outcome. You'll be working somebody else's outcome, else's vision. So I feel like at the very least.
So, well, the question you've got to ask yourself then is whose vision are you actually fulfilling?
Exactly. Because if you're taking on board the – I'm not saying that there's not real problems that people are having as a result of it, but if you're taking it on board and not finding a way or not – asking the right questions or, I don't know, reaching out for the right help or whatever that's needed so that you can get an outcome, then whoever is out there controlling that is controlling your life at the end of the day. So you have to be so clear with your outcome that it doesn't matter. Like, for example, with what we do, it doesn't matter that we're locked down. We can still deliver our message, right? We can still deliver the purpose for what we're actually here to do. We're not being guided by what somebody else is telling us that we can and can't do. Sure, that might limit the way we do it, but it doesn't change what we do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's super important.
Well,
right?
And it might limit the way we do it, but it hasn't put a limit. In fact, it's made us more limitless.
Yes, 100%.
In how we've chosen to deliver the message now, you know?
Yes, it's opened up the whole world. But then there's stuff that you wouldn't have seen before because we didn't take the time to look, step up, look at the other side of the circle and then look outside of that,
right?
So the perspective is about looking down. So then I would say that once you have sorted your mental, spiritual and physical, you've got to take inspired action.
Yeah.
You've got to take action. So the physical movement is just moving your body, but taking inspired action is about what is the next best thing, the next right thing for me to do.
Right.
And if you're down and out with the state of the world and there's somebody suggests to you that if you write a letter to this politician, then that's going to help. Go and do that.
Yeah.
But then come back to your mission.
Yeah.
And then, okay, the next thing, best thing for my mission is this. I'll go and do that. And finding your next best inspired action mm-hmm. is super important. It's like taking action in an inspired way and removing the blocks to you doing that.
Yeah.
So the blocks to you doing that is your time spent just mindlessly scrolling, or time spent just mindlessly watching television shows or whatever. There's okay, that's okay in a time and a place. But if you're moving your body, if you're clearing your mental space, and that includes meditation, it includes you know, what you're consuming in terms of your what you're hearing, what you're listening to, and you're also on mission, then you you won't be as bogged down by your day-to-day, like, you won't have time to be as bogged down by your day-to-day stuff that comes up. You've got to keep, like, your inspired action is like, no, this is my plan. This is where I'm headed. This is where I'm going. This is the next best thing. Like you always say, it's like a GPS. That you put that on your GPS, then your GPS is going to tell you where, what's the next place that you need to go in order to get to that destination.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes I can see how people think, well, you know, we have to do something. We have to, you know, we have to be able to push back. And I agree, but you got to push back in the right way. You know, you really have to push back in the right way. And you got to understand how you, what it is you want to feel and how it is you want your world to be, and focus on that.
See, people want to change the world, but they don't want to start with themselves.
Mm.
They want everybody else to change, but they don't want to do that for themselves. And I think that we're all in that place. This is, it's not a judgment, because I'm in that place sometimes. Everybody gets in that place sometimes. But there, when I'm in that place, that's exactly the time where I know, no, I have a choice here. We were listening to, so I was a few weeks back, right at the beginning of this month, I think, I told you that I'd watch this, listen to this podcast, Joe Rogan podcast with Yonmi Park, right?
Yeah. Fantastic podcast.
So good.
Fucking so,
so good.
It was a tough one for me to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, fuck, man. And then I was hearing stories of people saying, no, I don't believe her. I don't believe her. And then ultimately, the reason people don't believe her is because they don't want to believe that
cognitive dissonance,
that it could actually be happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
And because people are so far removed from what she was talking about. Like, you know, where, like, we've been to India. I've taken you to places in India that kids are living on dumps and da-da-da.
Yeah.
So you go there and you realise, fuck, you know, that's not much of a step away from absolute tyranny, you know, and absolute, you know. So to contemplate that there are concentration camps happening right now as you're listening to this in
the world,
it's, you just can't comprehend it, but there are.
100%.
So people think there's no way, and it goes, no, there are. They're happening right now. So if you're just in a bubble, you know, where you've never seen or witnessed any horror like that, the jump is too far. But if you have and you've traveled and you've ever been to any places in the world where, you know, there is extreme poverty, you realize that it's really not that much of a leap. You know,
100%.
I mean, it's not that much of a leap.
So she was talking, like, she was really giving a especially the first half, she was sharing a lot of her experiences in North Korea and what it's like there and what it was like to leave and what it was like to escape and eventually come to America, etc. And then the second half was really talking a little bit about perspectives on America now and the censorship and some of those other bits and pieces, which were really good for me to hear from her point of view in relation to what she'd experienced, right?
Yeah.
But there was a point in the podcast which she, I think Joe asks her, so what do we do? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And she said, well, she said, before, you wouldn't be able to find a vegan restaurant anywhere, right? She said,
especially in the US.
In the US. She said, but now everywhere you turn, there's a vegan restaurant. Why? Because the individuals ask for it. They spend their money in a place and so they are responding to the individual. And I thought this was really important. And you've been saying this for years as we've been talking with things. You've been like, there's no point changing Coca-Cola. But you tell Coca-Cola what you want. You vote. And if you don't shift yourself and make a choice on an individual level, they're not going to follow suit. You cannot change everybody out there, the only thing you can work on and look at is yourself. So as an individual, if you make choices that are aligned with your mission, your outcome, then life and the world has got to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you stay, you know, block your ears and go, oh, la, 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 like, and yep. pretend nothing's happening. Be out there, take inspired action when it's relative, but don't get so consumed by this that it takes you away from who you are. And I think March last year, we were literally doing Facebook Lives about this very thing.
Yeah.
And it was tough back then, and now it's tougher now, you know, in different ways, and it's easier in other ways, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the emotion's the same.
Yeah.
It's like, so what are we going to do about shifting the emotion? And it's like, actually make some choices today to do that. Like, it's like, if I'm hearing stuff and I'm not watching it as much now, I've got stuff that comes to me. People send me things every now and then, but I'm not out actively searching for it. The news that you need to know will always come to you anyway, right? Yeah. But if I hear something that I'm like, hang on a second, this is occupying my space now and I can't, it's like, that's my choice. I get a choice whether I let that ruin my day or if I actually stick to and focus on the outcome, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's super, super important, you know, and that as individuals we have the power.
Mm.
But it may not seem like it's making any difference, but then in the end it is.
It is. It is. 100%. Because the more that do what they know they need to do, which is listen to themselves, stop getting distracted. The more people do that, the quicker they will want to find another way to be able to get our attention. And then if you're clear about what attention you want, they will find that. They've marketing teams to find that fucking narrative. What do people want to hear?
100%.
It's just that everybody is buying the fear. Everybody's buying it. And
well, not
and
everyone. We can't say everyone.
Well, I suppose you're right. Yeah, you're right. But a
lot of
ton
people.
Of people. And so my recommendation is veer away from that. You know, just start with 10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Just 10 minutes a day. You know, that's
going to
make, if we all start doing it, it's going to make a huge difference. Get rid of the fucking apps, get rid of the stuff, get rid of the things that they've told you, they've said to you, this is how we are hacking your brain.
And that's it's just like you said, like with Lex, that's exactly what's going on for us. And it's just, we've got to be conscious of it. And sometimes you've got to take all of that stuff away in order to be aware of how much it's impacting you. I listened last year to a couple of podcasts with Brian Rose from London Real and David Icke.
I love Brian.
And when he was talking to David Icke at the time, David Icke's very like, and they're doing this and they're doing that. But if you listen to any of the stuff and you can't deal with all of that stuff, I promise, listen to the last 10 minutes of any of his podcasts or any of his stuff, because what he talks about there is nobody has power over you other than you and other than the power that you give them. So you are light, you are love, you are all of it. And to try and narrow yourself down into this ball of fear is not serving your purpose, you know, is not serving you as a human, as a soul, as a spirit who's here to love and to experience, you know. So he says it much more eloquently than that, but he really rams that home, and I think that's important. Like, all of the other stuff aside, we are infinite, like, potential.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's like, why are we allowing something so petty to override us? And I know that for some people it doesn't feel petty, but if we were to zoom out and zoom out, like if we were to look at ourselves from the rooftop, you know, with that, it would seem smaller. You look at ourselves from, I don't know, a plane, we'd seem insignificant then. You look at it from a sky level, from, you know, space level, and you zoom out, zoom out, zoom out, zoom out, you realise that actually I'm so much more than all of that. That one little thing doesn't define who I am, you know?
Yeah. You know, I pee out my backyard every night. Yeah. Head at the back, full moon, and I
have. Did you lift your leg up and shake your tail as well?
Every morning, every night I go out and I do that. And it's kind of a ritual for me, right? And I'll pee on my lemon trees, I'll pee on my orange trees, or I'll, you know. And I always
picture that.
Yeah, I always look up to the moon. And I always look up and I think, if I was up there looking back on the Earth right now, how small and tiny and insignificant would I be to this beautiful, massive blue planet?
Yeah.
You know, and just be peering and observing it, you know, in space. That's what we are. And that's when you start to remember, you know, as we say all the time, your divinity, and what you are. And the word divine means to emanate light. That's all it means.
That's what we're here for.
And when we're out there in the dark and we look up to the moon and we see the light of it, we're in awe. It's full moon at the moment. We're in awe of it. We look and we think, wow. You know, how many times have you ever gone, hey, look at the moon. Hey, you know, and you sit and that's what you have to remember that you are. And we have to remember that wonderment that we are just light, you know?
Yeah. Here's to emanating light this
week,
mate.
Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow. Ooh. Such a good song. Doot, 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 doot. No?
Yeah.
I love it.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.